in fine voice this morning. Does anyone wonder what that line means? Here I raise my Ebenezer. I'm always wondering, and so I, a number of years ago, looked it up to see what in the world is this Ebenezer that I'm raising. The Hebrew word that means a stone, a firm foundation. That's why this song is so appropriate for today. When you listen for the rest to the rest of the readings and the psalm, you will hear that Ebenezer mentioned many times, but not in that word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God of all nations, you have revealed your will to your people and promised your help to us all. Help us to hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading, a reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of the Lord, the one that he swore to the ancestors to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn away from what I am commanding you today to follow other gods that you have not known, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 31 responsively. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ears to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have made up for those who fear you, and accomplished for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of everyone.
In the shelter of your presence you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under the shelter from contentious tongues.
Blessed be you, Lord, for you have wondrously shown this steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege.
I had said in my alarm, I'm driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help.
Love the Lord, all who live in peace. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily.
Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading, a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, the first and third chapter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift to the redemption that is Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works. No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many deeds of power in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. The Gospel of the Lord. The reading from the book of Deuteronomy begins with the command of God, "You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul. You should bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead." Now the words that the writer of Deuteronomy is referring to come a little earlier in that book. They are the great command, the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." In our reading today, the emphasis is on loving and serving God with all of our heart and mind and soul. Now, these aren't casual suggestions or simple requests. These are commandments of urgency with details of behavior that encompass every aspect of living. Putting the Word of God in our hearts and in our soul, binding them, tying them up as a sign on our hand, putting them as an emblem on our forehead, and above all, teaching them to our children. And the central message of all of this: nothing else matters as much as loving and serving and obeying the one God. That's the central, the core message that we have to remember and hold on to. This is not something that we can keep for ourselves, but a believer has to act on these commandments and teach them to the children. And it doesn't just stop with the teaching. obedience in this reading from Deuteronomy ends up with a blessing or a curse. Choose for yourself. Do you want to be blessed? Then do the work of God. Do you want to be cursed? Then don't do the work of God. Don't obey. It's up to you, says the writer of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, some groups of the Israelite people took these words from Deuteronomy literally, very seriously, binding the very word itself to their heart and to their soul. And even till today, there are some sects of the Jewish community that outwardly show that sign of being bound to the word of God, as well as an interior and the act of treasuring those words in their heart. I brought something for show and tell. I borrowed this from Pastor Michael Taxer, who grew up as a Jewish person and now is a Presbyterian at Westminster Presbyterian Church. And this is a taflin. And inside this beautiful velvet bag with Hebrew letters that tell us that this is to be worn are a pair of taflin. You might have heard the word phylactery. This is what is used to bind the word to our hearts, to our heads, to our hands. I'm just going to let that rest there because this is the one I want first. I'm going to show you. I'm not going to put this on because not only do I not know the prayers that go with it, but I want to show it to you. I'm not going to put it on because it's not to be put on over clothing. You have to push your sleeve up and put it on against your muscle with the word of God pointing to your close to your heart, binding it to your heart and to your strength. Inside this box, this is a solid box. This is all made of leather, specially crafted for to become this taflin. Inside this box is written on a special parchment, written by a scribe with a very in a holy way, tied with an animal's hair, rolled up inside of this. You can see it's leather on the bottom with a certain number of knots to tie this up. This is the command from the Bible to bind this to your heart. So this is literally binding it to your heart. You hold it on, flip this, it's like a slip knot, hold it on, and wrap this binding around and around, saying a prayer, saying certain prayers and proclamation. And when you get it right to the hand, you stop, and then you put on this one, which also has the word of God inside, holding in this box. This one is divided into four compartments. It has the four references, two from the book of Exodus, the one that we heard today from the book of Deuteronomy, and another one from the book of Deuteronomy, written on very small, as you can see, parchment, and placed in here, and there's a Hebrew letter, with the letter F for the Shema, which is the great command, hear, O Israel, pay attention to the word of God. This one is the one for the forehead, and this specially tied knot, and I can't, every single piece of this, and every action involving this has meaning and has special significance. And I don't know all of that, so I'm only telling you the little bits that I know. So this is placed on the nape of the neck, in the back, and then this goes by the hairline. And now, my hairline is right about here. Some of us would have it way back. And then these two bindings are placed over your shoulders. What does this remind you of? A stole, a yoke, reins. We are bound. We are in obedience to God. So this reminds us of that. And then the rest of the prayer is said as the binding is wrapped around the fingers and then finally around the ring finger. And the prayer that is said as it's wrapped around the ring finger is, I betroth myself to you, in some form of those words. I betroth myself to you, O Lord. And then the fingers are kissed. A kiss. The holiness of this action. And then it's ritually removed. This is put on during, before morning prayer, and is left on during the prayer, and then it's ritually taken off. There is not a ritual way to wrap it back up and put it in the bag, which I'm glad, because I would never be able to give it back to Michael in any correct form. That kind of ritual outward sign of binding ourselves, just think of you know, that action every day. Every day. Well, 300 and some days, because it's not done on the Sabbath day, but it's done every day. There's certain holidays that you don't put this on. But every day, putting that on, wrapping yourself, wrapping, binding the Word of God to your own body. What a way to have your prayer. What a physical reminder of what this passage talks about. Now, Matthew's gospel says, don't get so concerned with outward action. Now, I'm not impressed with the binding, with the action, with outward religious action. I want to know what's in your heart. That's what God is saying. This passage from Matthew. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Now, here's the key to that passage. Jesus is not asking just for action, for speaking out or for shouting out words or making outward signs of faith. He's asking us to do the will of the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this a terrifying passage. I get afraid when I read this scripture, this passage that says that the ones who are doing deeds of power, who are prophesying in the Lord's name, who are casting out demons and doing good religious things, are the ones that the Lord says, I don't know who you are. Well, you know, I kind of like, my life is kind of formed around trying to do the deeds of the Lord. And if God isn't going to know me in the end, what am I doing? You know, why am I trying so hard to do the good deeds of the Lord? It's not that the good deeds shouldn't be done, but the emphasis has to be on the interior motive, what's in my heart and what's in God's heart. It's not enough that we know the Lord, that we know the characteristics, that we say, Lord, Lord, I know who you are. We have to act on it. We have to act on knowing the Lord. Our actions have to spring from our relationship with God. So there's a distinction between these two questions. What do you believe? And what difference does it make that you have that belief? Does it make any difference in your life what you believe. You know, the ones who were cast out were the ones who showed outwardly what they believed. But they lacked that interior relationship with God. You can be a whiz at Bible trivia and still not trust in the Lord. When obedience to God, when that interior relationship is the firm foundation, if that's lacking, then it's all for nothing. Even our good deeds are for nothing if we don't have an interior relationship with God. It's like building a grand house without a secure foundation. Boy, last winter, all of those great rains that we had, we saw on the news night after night, the newscaster telling us of yet another house that had slid down yet another hillside because it was not on a firm foundation. Even though I bet you that most of those people thought they were on a firm foundation. That's why this passage scares me. I think I'm on a firm foundation. And yet, without that interior relationship with God, it's like being on a slippery slope. It's like being in a house that's built on a sandy hillside in the midst of rain. We have to have that interior relationship with God. So what is the foundation of your life? What are you built on? Is it doing the will of the Father, which Jesus asks us? What does that mean anyway, to do the will of the Father? How can we live our lives in obedience to God? What does that look like, living your life in obedience to God? St. Paul gives us his answer in this reading from Romans. And he says, we all fail. We're all sinners. We can't do it. And that's the answer. How do you live your life in obedience to God? Can't do it. Because we can't do it alone. We can't do it without Jesus Christ. We can't live in obedience to God without the grace of God, without faith in Jesus Christ. It's not us. I can't live in obedience to God. It's Jesus Christ, the strength and the power of the relationship between Jesus and the Father. That's the utter obedience. That's the perfect obedience. And thanks be to God for that grace that has been shared. Because we cannot, absolutely cannot earn our own salvation. We absolutely cannot do the will of the Father, no matter how much we try. But through that gift of faith, because of that gift of faith, our works are made holy. Our works are made secure. Our good deeds are done not for the show, not for the external action only, but they also have the interior relationship. Faith is what makes us like the wise man in the parable. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. It's faith that makes our firm foundation. It's through faith that we act on his words, trusting in the power of God rather than in our own good deeds, trusting in the power of God rather than on our own abilities or our own actions. Now, there's two ways presented in this gospel. One way is based on looking at what I do. Look at my good works, look at my deeds, look at my, you know, this is what I'm doing. Even when it's good religious stuff that I'm doing. That's one way. The other way is looking at what God is doing and trusting what God is doing. God, who is looking for us, looking for a relationship with us, loving us, shoring up our foundation, giving us that security, that rock so that we might be able to bear good fruit, motivated not by our own deeds and our own abilities, but motivated by that interior relationship with God. God is our rock, our foundation, that keeps us secure in the midst of the storms of life. Did you notice in this story that even the wise man who has that firm foundation suffered through wind and rain and floods and storms of life? This passage does not say that if we have a good relationship with God, we'll have a happy life. This passage says that if we have a good relationship with God, we will have storms. There will be wind and trouble, and our house will be buffeted by storms. But we won't slide down that slippery hill because we have a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. God is our rock, our firm foundation. There's no limit to the good that we can do while we're standing on that rock that is the Lord Jesus. There is no limit to the good that we can do when we act in faith through Him, clinging to the rock that is the will of the Father. We will do that work that is the will of the Father. Clinging to that rock, trusting in what God is doing, not trusting in what we do. So may the Lord be with you in such a way that you can respond in good deeds, that you can respond in acts of power through the Lord Jesus. The book of Deuteronomy that shows us this wonderful tradition from the Jewish faith is the external, binding ourselves to the word of the Lord and showing that there is an interior relationship too. May that rock of your faith remain strong and secure. Amen.